Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Taylor the lone setback. Second and 9 for Martindale. And it's a draw again. Taylor going outside. He's at the 10. Breaks a tackle. Looking for room inside at the 15. Outside. There he goes. It's a good race. Taylor's gone. He's at the 40. He's at the 50. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. Taylor to the 20. Taylor 10. 5. Touchdown. Jacksonville. 90 yards.
I believe they did something, Brian. Is that what you were looking for?
90 yards.
Brett Taylor called it during the week. He said he was going to make the big play, and he's done it here in the first quarter.
I've said it before. Unbelievable.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and John Osher.
Oh, baby, I'm back, whether you're ready or not. Johnny, they didn't find me for my absence that I'm aware of. I did not get a letter announcing any fines for my absence. I was not suspended, as far as anyone knows. And I will say that Tony Smith is probably the luckiest broadcaster in history, as on my return after 2 weeks without me, he's hosting the Frangie Show in the afternoon for the rest of the week, so he didn't have to see me for another week. How about that?
Oh, I thought you were going to say he moved up.
Well, he may have. I don't know. I'm the last to hear about things.
Yeah, so it's you're back, and that's good.
Is it? Yeah. Is that what you got? Is that where you're going to you go with? That's the sum total of
it's
your...
It's better than just me here.
True.
That's
a good point.
That would not go well.
Well, from your perspective, it might be, but I'm glad you're here with me today, and I'm back. I missed out on all the goodies, all the storylines, and I know everybody loves this. Everybody talks about whatever happens while you're gone, and then you come back and think people want to rehash everything that happened when you're gone. But
let's talk about the Super Bowl.
Touch on that. You know, I will certainly touch on that. Unique's contract extension that he's wanting, and Jalen saying, "Should pay me now, man." Because
you have been gone a while. That's
year.
Right.
Oh yeah, a lot.
That all. Yeah. Okay.
All that,
all right.
You know, Telvin getting fined for missing minicamp and all that good stuff. I heard you and Dan Hicken discussing it earlier. You know, the whole who looks good in OTA's minicamp.
A lot of guys quick in and out of their break.
You know who looked good? All the guys, and I can tell you this without even being there. All the guys who didn't get hurt. Right. That's what looked good.
All the guys who didn't get hurt.
That's the primary thing. You want
quarterbacks and
chemistry.
Receivers look good in these things. That's what it is.
That's what it's designed for. More than any. Or maybe that's not what it's designed for as much as that's the end result of the rules that are in place.
Yeah, absolutely. You're ecstatic when your linemen and your defensive linemen stay on their feet and during drills don't get their feet tangled up and start twisting things.
Right.
That's what you want out of that.
Right. Are we to be concerned at all about the Josh Allen knee bruise?
Not from my understanding.
No.
That as soon as that happened,
hyper-cautious?
Yes, because it's OTAs.
I get it. Look, nothing you can do, even if you went out there and looked fantastic and didn't get hurt, he'd get hurt in training camp, he could have it. It's not necessarily a reflection of what's going to come in the year, but there is a reason they do these things. You know, you do get reps, and I know you could take mental reps, but I think there is a value to being out there on the field. It's not wholly unimportant that he didn't participate, in my
the
opinion.
The biggest value is the meeting time, especially for offensive players who are trying to figure out this scheme. That's why I thought the Leonard Fournette stuff with missing OTAs, yeah, you'd rather have him be here, I guess, but he had been at meetings since mid-April learning this offense. In the grand scheme of things, those are the things you want these guys at to make sure they're learning it. With Josh Allen, I guess there's something to be said for him out there rushing a passer in a passing drill against air, but I'm not sure I see it.
All right, I think there's probably some degree, when you were young, when you practiced, you know, any sport, no matter what level, I always felt like you got something out of it, you know. So I'm not saying it's going to change the outcome that he would have had a 15-sack season, now he'll only get 12 or anything like that. But
the vast majority, especially for rookies, is education, making sure that they're ready to not get in everybody's way once these pads go on and you're going full speed.
All right, enough that talk. I am E to the T. How are you, bro? I missed you.
What's happening, Mike?
I didn't miss Johnny O at all.
That's fine.
But I did miss you.
What's happening, Mike?
You'll know I missed you. I brought you some goodies back.
Man, I can't wait.
Road trip.
Because Tony kept telling me all the stuff you sent him. I'm over here just rubbing my
hands. Yeah, I sent Tony a couple of postcards. Kind of rubbing it in. Well, I sent him from Cooperstown.
Yeah. Okay, I thought
baseball
stuff. No, I got
I got a Hank Aaron postcard that has his plaque on the front, and I got a Chipper postcard because he's a Braves fan. You know, it's kind of spanning the generations there, and I sent those to him, and they were very nice. It's like I started the message on the Hank Aaron card, dot, 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 continued it on the Chipper card, and then, you know, it's got the postmark, and I expressed that I hope one day he gets to go visit his favorite Braves.
There was no Glenn Hubbard postcard?
There was not a Glenn Hubbard Biff
or
Pokoroba.
Biff Pokoroba.
Don't give Frank an idea. Right. He'll do a whole show on this if he weren't on vacation today. Because I've produced that show before. Mark Lemke, let's keep naming him.
Okay? Mark Lemke postcard.
We'll just keep going on. No, Cooperstown was awesome.
Good.
Vacation was a blast. Went to D.C. I'm not going to go through every step of everything we
Scranton?
Did.
Scranton? Did you make it to Scranton?
We did make
it
to Scranton.
Good.
Which was my son's idea because my son is a big devotee of The Office, the television show The Office, which is set in Scranton, Pennsylvania. If you never watch The Office, you're missing out. If you have Netflix, they're all right there for you. So he's like, we got to go to Scranton. So my wife picked Cooper's Seafood, which okay. in one of the episodes, Michael takes, I can't remember, Holly, it was, to Cooper's. And I think it's the only time that scenario was featured. Poor Richard's Tavern is a popular one.
Okay.
It's actually in a bowling alley. Like, you can't tell that the way they shoot it, but it's actually in a bowling alley. So we went to Cooper's, and they have a whole little office memorabilia store associated with that.
Oh, sure.
Dad's wallet got pressed into service once again, but we did that.
That's what vacation's all about.
Absolutely. I mean, we went to D.C. Well, we drove through Scranton on the way to Cooperstown, did the Hall of Fame, went to Maine, so we were in Portland, Maine.
Oh, wow, it's fantastic.
Maine is fantastic. Portland, Maine is where, you know, that's Freak City, right? Mm-hmm. That's a very progressive, like, hippie town. And I say Freak City, those are my people, right?
Right.
So I'm amongst them. I felt right at home. Went to Portland, went to Freeport, because you got to go to L.L. Bean when you're in Maine, and had the best lobster roll of my life in Freeport, Maine. It's unbelievable. Went whitewater rafting and almost got thrown out of the boat. Would have been embarrassing. But
how deep is that water?
It's not that deep, E, and as you go over, there are a lot of rocks in the bottom of the river. So I wish it were a lot deeper if I'm going out of the boat. Let's put it that way. I got a life jacket. Even my fat butt will float with a life vest, so
I gotta ask.
Fine.
I'm negatively buoyant, so I gotta ask.
Well, you've learned to swim.
Although
though,
I'm like Mike Phelps and Nemo, I still gotta ask.
I
those
had
questions.
You on speed dial in case I was in the water, Mr. Coast Guard. And then we drove over to Bar Harbor, which is on the East Coast. Spent a couple of days there. We climbed a mountain in Acadia National Park, and that was a lot of fun. And spent the last couple of days visiting family in Manhattan. So had a good time. I'm back. Got souvenirs, not for you, John.
That's fine.
My presence is gift enough, I think, for you.
Oh, you mean presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E.
No, you get my presence.
Okay, I got you.
Yes.
His presence is a present.
His presence is what he gets.
I'd rather have the
I know you
T's.
Would. Who wouldn't? Right? Who wouldn't? Maybe I'll give Tony's away because he's not here right now to receive them. We've got questions of the day, multiple ones I threw out there. One in poll fashion, that's your official Jaguars Today question of the day, presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. And we ask you, now that all the heavy lifting is done until training camp, how do you feel about the Jaguars' 2019 chances compared to how you felt at the beginning of the offseason? There's been, I don't know if turmoil might be too big a word, but there definitely, you know, there's some uncertainty floating around right now about certain aspects of the team. So do you feel more optimistic, less optimistic, or pretty much the same way you did at the start of the offseason? Now, this, keep in mind, takes us back prior to the draft, prior to free agency, all these things. So try to remember how you felt about the team kind of at the beginning of the year. And also, on a separate tweet I put out there, now that the Jags are off until training camp, what's the biggest concern that you have? Is it, will Yannick show up and play football? Is it that they're not going to have Telvin Smith available? Is it that we really don't know how good Nick Foles is, and can he stay healthy for a 16-game season? There are a lot of ways you can go with that. You can hit me up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at John Osier as well. I am E to the T if you'd like to make it a family affair here. And, of course, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, you can do it on the phone lines or the text line, which is built by Lifetime Enclosures, and that has been my first time saying it because that's been since the beginning of June.
So well executed.
I welcome Lifetime Enclosures, E, and I for once wrote a few things down so I did not forget them right in front of me. So
well
you can,
done.
You can do any of those things, phone line, text line, at 641-1010. OJ and Bill Cosby, both active on Twitter over the weekend, so it feels – feels like
that's good.
1990 all right. over again right now. We'll touch on a number of Jaguar-related issues. Mike Dempsey, Johnny O, and Emmanuel Thalloran in the house over at World Headquarters. Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Emmanuel, you've got to be impressed that I did not talk over any of that, or at least try to talk over any of that right there. I do it when I'm in the full swing of things.
I'm kind of impressed.
That was pretty good, right? I was patient, waiting for my spot.
I think you were watching me. You might have been.
He gave you a begrudging respect. Just
yeah. You know, it's like sometimes you take a month off from golf and you come back and all of a sudden your swing is like in mid-season form. It just happens that way sometimes, at least for me. Mid-season form doesn't mean a whole lot, right?
Whoa.
I mean, it's all relative to your own skill level, but sometimes it works that way. So hopefully I will pronounce words correctly for the most part today. That would be good.
I'm here for you.
That's my skill set, John. I'm a pronunciation guy is what I'm after anyway. E, let's get here. I'm going to give you some presents. Let's get this out of the way.
Let's do it.
Because nobody wants to hear about my vacation any more than they need to.
Oh,
okay?
That's great.
They will be happy to know, as I was telling you on the break, I had the worst mosquito infestation I've ever seen in my life up in Maine, just in one part, not like Portland fine, Freeport fine, Bar Harbor fine, all the more southerly cities in Maine, but West Forks up in the middle of the boonies, like halfway up on the west side of the state, just absolutely everywhere. You're telling me you've been up there, John.
If you get around water in that part of the country, my grandparents had a cabin in the Adirondacks, and there was a creek, you know, X number of feet away from it, and the mosquitoes are a real thing.
They are, like,
they are
the second we stepped out of the car, swarming your face,
right,
kind of that thick. And fortunately, we only stayed in that place one night. And when you're out on the weird whitewater rafting, when you're on the water and you're moving, it was fine.
Right.
You know, but even it,
would you say that's pretty much the market up there? That's pretty much the economy.
Pretty much on that road in West Forks, you're either whitewater rafting or you're having a business that caters to people staying overnight to go whitewater rafting. And there may be an occasional small little roadside restaurant or something like that.
Where people eat when they go.
Yes. Guess what they eat?
Whitewater rafting.
They eat lobster.
Lobster.
Yeah. A lot of it. A lot of lobster up there. Delicious. That was one good thing. We walked a lot, though. I didn't put on any weight. That was good. E, don't get all excited. Are you a blue or a red guy? What's more your style, would you say?
I'm more of a blue guy.
Oh, thank goodness. My man. All right. Got you blue. You said you're a large. Got you a blue shirt from Baseball Hall of Fame, right?
Okay.
Don't know if you really care all that much about the Baseball
Hall
of Fame.
What if he had said red? You don't have a red shirt for
I do have a red shirt, but then Tony would have been wearing a large.
Okay.
Okay. and Tony's an XL, so he's got the red shirt in there. Big surprise, Tony. I've ruined it for you. And the only other thing I got you, it was when I was a kid and I went to D.C. See if you can guess what this would be. From an eighth grader's perspective, I went to D.C., and I knew I was going to the Air and Space Museum
in
D.C.,
right?
Very cool, right? By the way, had no idea, been so long, no idea the Smithsonian's absolutely free to go to, which was very good. Saved Dad some money on the trip. The one item in eighth grade that I wanted to get, the only thing I wanted on my eighth grade trip to the Smithsonian was what I got you. Instead, I didn't get to have it in eighth grade for whatever reason. I don't know. I probably spent my money on something else stupid. But so it's not, you know, not all that expensive. It's something an eighth grader might have been able to afford. Any guess what that might have been? Air and Space Museum now.
I'm thinking something helicopterish, maybe?
Helicopterish. John, you want to weigh in here? You think it's a mini space shuttle key ring?
I was just thinking the Air and Space Museum would be empty.
Because it's just air and space. Oh, clever.
I get it.
And thus ends the program, ladies and gentlemen. No, Emmanuel, instead, what I got you was every astronaut's favorite freeze-dried vanilla ice cream sandwich right there. So there
That's
you go.
Fantastic.
It
That's
is fantastic.
That's what you bought in eighth grade?
I wanted to,
okay.
And then I don't know if I, you know, I know, it, like in the eighth grade trip, you get like, all right, here's the whole
right.
museum, it's three floors, it's got every exhibit you ever want to see, be back here in 30 minutes, right? And we're getting on the bus in 30 minutes.
And you're
minutes.
Only allowed to spend $7.
Well, you had your own spending money if you had it. So there you go, freeze-dried ice cream for Emmanuel. I don't know what I would do with freeze-dried ice cream.
I don't know if I'm going to eat it.
No, that's kind of the thing, right? Like, are
it.
You really going to eat it, or do you save it for a special occasion and feel free to re-gift it? You know,
no,
you
I'm going to keep it, definitely.
Oh,
but
I don't know
what I'm going to do with it.
I'll never ask you to produce it again. So there you have it. And now if I made the kind of money that some of the Jacksonville Jaguars made, perhaps as I transition back to the team here,
you're
John.
Bro, you're on your game.
Perhaps, John, I would have gotten more expensive gifts for Emmanuel, but I did not.
Hell yeah!
Jalen Ramsey makes a fair amount of money, as it is, but,
yes,
you know, I think most people who observe the National Football League on a regular basis consider him among the very best at his position, and I'm sure he feels like that time is coming where he should be paid accordingly.
And it is.
And so, Jalen, this was an Instagram post, right, E, that I didn't get a chance to comment on. Let's listen in. I'm sure everybody who's listening to this program last week heard everything Jalen had to say, but this was his reaction to the timing of when he might get an extension from the Jags.
Right. Next year, especially after I bomb, they're going to come to me, hey, you know what? Hey, we want to holler at you. Na-na-na-na-na.
All right.
That number going to be so ungodly. I'm going to just.
That boy said ungodly.
That number gonna be so ungodly. They gonna just look.
They gonna have a little bit. They gonna have a little bit for me. That's all I need to know.
They gonna say, "Oh, oh God, we can't get a little discount with 20% off." See, last year I'm gonna tell them. Last year y'all could have got that discount.
Right.
This year.
Right.
I need all that.
Last year was a bad season for us. You know, anybody, really anybody could have got a discount.
What I'm saying, they could have got a little discount this year, maybe. It's a little sample, though. It's a little.
So you saying it's up this year?
Boy. All right.
All right, so a few things to unpack here, John. A, just to certify my age bracket, okay, playing Ed McMahon to Jalen's Johnny Carson, none other than Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
Right. And by the way, who did Ed McMahon? Phil Hartman, right? On it was amazing, right?
He was unbelievable.
How many people, if you're gonna do an impression of them, would you do an impression of someone's impression of them, right? Like it's Dana Carvey, 1,000
right.
points of light for George Bush.
Hartman's got a lot of them.
He does have a lot of them.
Rich Little?
I do remember Rich Little. You want really date us.
You couldn't watch 70s television. He'd be on like
three talk
shows a day.
He'd be on Hollywood Squares, right. He'd be all over the place. And that's all he did, right?
Right. He'd be on Merv Griffin at 4.
I guess he just like did a stand-up show. Is
yeah,
that what
he was
did?
All impressions and all just that.
He was good at it.
He was of that era.
Yeah,
he
good was, for yeah. him. But, I mean, Leonard was just like there to go like, right you yeah. are, give him that money. Yeah. And leave a few scraps for me
right.
while you're at it. All right, John, let's play a little role play. Hypothetical. You are Jalen Ramsey, okay? I am Dave Caldwell.
All right,
here we go. Hey, Jalen, it's still the off season. You know what? We've come around to your way of thinking. We'd like to talk about an extension. Let's start with that 20% discount.
Yeah, there's not going to be a discount. There wasn't going to be a discount. They couldn't negotiate last year anyway.
Correct.
So they couldn't negotiate until the day after the day, you know, the end of the season. But
are you speaking in third person now? I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. no discount, Dave.
No discount. Exactly. Right. What are you talking about?
And guess what?
Discount.
No discount, Dave, would have been my answer in January too, Dave.
Right. Right. At any point in the offseason, right? So, like, because you're still coming off that bad year that he and Leonard were talking about. You're still 5-11. I assume they mean collectively we had a bad year as a team.
I guess that's what they meant.
Whatever, right? I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that one.
And a credit to Jalen. All Jalen's saying in that is what everybody knows anyway. He's going to break the bank. It's going to be an unbelievable deal. And I believe they'll get it done early next offseason.
You do?
Yeah. I don't think this thing will turn into a long-term thing.
Will they have the cap space to manage that? I mean, I know you can create cap space in the NFL, but here's the situation. Because obviously it ties in with Unique, right? Unique wants his deal. I think the only – and people have the right to disagree with this, have your own opinion on it, obviously. But the mistake I think Unique made was coming in at the beginning of OTAs and stating that I'm going to be here for everything.
That was the – and I think that day he was speaking out of maybe a passion for the game.
Sure he was.
That he's that guy. I think what he meant that day, I'm going to give everything when I'm here. I'm a team guy. I'm into it. And then probably advised, hey, look, we've got to send a message that you're willing to do this.
Don't you think that message, like, you know what's coming, right? Sure. If you're Jalen or Unique's representatives, right? You're his agent, whatever. Who I don't know who else advises him, who whispers in his ear. But it's not like you didn't know minicamp was coming up. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just because I really felt like he – you can say that may be what he meant. I think it was clearly interpreted and reacted to that Unique was here and look, he's going to do things a different way, and I'm on board, and look, all I've ever done is work, and I'm going to work. Why would anything be different? Well, it's different because you're going into the last year of your deal now, and you're finally eligible for an extension. And look, this is one of those, I don't want to be offensive. I want Unique to get paid, okay? But that doesn't mean I want him to get paid at the expense of the Jaguars being able to field a competitive team, right? So, being the fact that he's not a free agent and he's not even in position to receive the franchise tag, for the team to pay him top of the market money, I don't think is necessarily the smartest business move at this particular moment.
Right?
Now, people will say, well, they paid Hearns, they paid Telvin, they paid Linder, they paid Blake. Most of these are different situations. Linder's very comparable. Because he played 3 years on his rookie deal. He had a fourth year coming. They gave him a contract extension, which made him the highest paid player at his position. Mm-hmm. That's a comparable situation. The Hearns deal, the Hearns didn't get top of the market wide receiver money. Telvin played 2 months of his fourth year. It was October. Yes. I looked it up. It was October 25th.
17.
The story came out of 17.
Yeah.
The equivalent would be if Jan showed up, played the first 2 months of the season, balled out, and they said, "All right, he's everything we've seen for the first 3 years."
That is a pretty plausible scenario.
Right. It may be right now. You know, Blake was in a different position. You know,
quarterback's always different.
Quarterback is different, but it wasn't like they ripped up Blake's deal after the third year.
Right.
Right. And also, what was different was they had oodles of cap space during most of those situations. Now, in part because of their bad decision on Bortles, that's why they don't have the cap space right now. But the reality is, whatever led to it, if they had $60 million in cap space right now, that this deal would probably be done.
Yeah.
Right.
If it was 2 years ago at a different time when they had been talent poor and cap rich, then I think it would be a different decision.
Right.
But I'm still not sure that they would be going 2021. I mean, you know, I just don't know
You mean with the timing. I think if he goes out there this year and he has 16 sacks.
Well, sure.
He's a defensive player of the year
candidate.
He hasn't
done that, though.
I understand that. Or let's say he has 12 sacks, which he's been that guy. Okay, let's say he had 12 sacks, 5 forced fumbles. Right, which is he's already capable of. Being that he'll be at the end of his rookie deal and they'll be either forced to look at the franchise tag, which is already a very high number, or work out a long-term deal, which may be in their benefit at that point because you can structure it that even though he's getting more money, you can space it out, in a different way and actually have a lower cap burden next year. He might get that a year from now. But I think the Jags' point of view is, look, $2 million this year. Let's say the franchise tag's 18 next year, right? And it may not even be that high. But let's say it's 18. That's a two-year, $20 million contract if we franchise you. We don't need the franchise tag for Jalen next year. We've got the fifth-year option. So we'll continue to talk about that. It's one of those situations where I think people look and say, he's got a contract. You got to honor the contract.
It's not that simple.
It is not that simple because the collective bargaining agreement gives him the ability to hold out. And, for instance, they can't take him to some labor court and sue him for breach of contract. They can apply fines for missing mandatory minicamp, which is all laid out. His ability to withhold his services is anticipated with the collective bargaining agreement. And their range of reactions
is
there.
This is what it'll cost you.
Exactly. Or potentially cost you. But you can do it. You're not going to get sued. You're not going to get taken to court. It's a different circumstance. It's not like you sign a deal to paint somebody's house and you're under breach of contract. You're not. This is a union situation. Right. And
it's collectively bargained.
And by the way, when people say, you know, the team will cut you, well, they also had the right to cut you because they bargained for that right to not have to guarantee those contracts. If you want guaranteed contracts, you got to be willing in the next labor negotiation round to miss games. That's what it's going to take, I think, for the owners to go that route. If you want to get in and talk about any aspect of Jaguar football that's gone down in the last 2 weeks or looking ahead, I got a couple of questions of the day out there presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. Pick up the phone and call 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, and Emmanuel Thalerand here with you, Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, here we go. Mike Dempsey, Johnny O, E.T. here with you. Jaguars Today. Fat Tony hosting the Frangie Show for this week. We're just talking about the Unique and Ngakoue situation, both on the air and off, continuing the commentary during the break, and we'll get back to that here, John, as I read you a text on the 1010XL text line. Built by Lifetime Enclosures, Emmanuel. Not sure if you're aware of that, but you need to be. Lifetime Enclosures presenting your text line thoughts here.
Thanks for reminding me,
Mike. You're welcome, sir. This one coming in from the 904 area code. I'm afraid this issue with Unique gets uglier. He seems very determined to stand his ground. I hope this doesn't bring issues with the team because he is universally respected by team personnel, fans, teammates, and the media with his hard work. I would agree with that. Uh-huh. I don't think we never really know, you know, everybody as much as we like to think we know him, but I have no reason to think that anybody doesn't respect what Unique Ngakoue has brought to the table since the day he walked in the building.
And the in the last couple of days, I've written this a lot, obviously, in the Ozone. Jaguars want to pay Ngakoue. They want to give him a raise. They know he deserves a raise. I just don't think they want to go 20. There's a number where they're not ready to go to yet, but it's not as if they're saying, this guy doesn't deserve to get paid. They know that.
All right, well, they continue on. Everyone knows he outperformed his contract, deserves it, maybe even more than any other guy, and they've extended under Caldwell and Coughlin. Again, the extension thing, some of them, the Linder thing, pretty comparable. Mm-hmm. But again, the cap space situation was much more favorable.
When did they do him, 15?
I think it was 17, but it was the off season of 17.
That's right, it was. It was
right, because he got drafted.
Like forever ago,
right,
but it was
15, 17. 16, 17, or no, 14, 15, 16 he played. I believe.
That's good. That's
right.
Correct.
Yeah. And then he got extended in the offseason prior to the 2017 season. So he had 1 year left on his rookie deal.
Doesn't it seem like that was like 5 years ago when they extended him?
It does. I mean, right?
Yeah.
It does.
But yeah, it is too.
You know, and that'd be the one that, if I'm going to use an example from Unique's perspective, that's the one I'm pressing on because, you know, even at that point, one of those, he had never played a 16 game season, Linder.
Oh, and, yeah, it was risky. Yep.
And in his second year, he missed the vast majority of the year. So one out of those 3 years, he was basically unavailable to you.
Yep.
And they made him the highest paid player at his position. That's the thing. Right. You know, it wasn't $20 million, but relative to every other center in the league.
And the only difference is obviously, regardless of highest paid position, it's much easier to commit 10 than it is 20. So there's
sure
a little difference there. But he was highest paid position.
The cap you have now is got to be probably $20, $30 million more than it was then, right? I mean, the cap grows as well, so there's more available to pay these players. And the money's – it's not like the money's not coming in.
Right.
The cap's based on, like, the TV contract. They know how much – you know, you've got the money. It's not like the Jags don't have the money to pay them. Every team has the money. It's how you allocate.
It's like Jalen says. I forget how he phrased it, but he said, the money's always there, man.
He's not wrong.
And it's true.
He's not wrong. Yeah. The money is there. It's, again, it's a question of can you – there are a lot of questions, but can you remain competitive and field a good team rather than just pay a couple of superstars? Now, you saw it. You could speak better to it than certainly I can. You had a Peyton Manning-led offense, and you made sure Marvin Harrison was locked up, right? For the most part, Edger and James for a good long time was locked up.
Yeah, with Edge, they never got him to a second contract, though.
Because he didn't get a second deal?
That was back in the day. He got drafted in 98, and I think I'm remembering this right. He got drafted in 98, and they didn't have the structured contracts, meaning 4 years now.
Right.
I think he had like a six-year deal coming out.
Oh, like a rookie contract?
And then they franchised him at least once or twice, and then he was gone after 2005.
Okay.
So he was there, 99? 2001, 2003. Anyway, they franchised him at the end and then said, okay, running back, thank you very much.
Right. They prioritized, though, Manning.
Yes.
The handful of offensive playmakers and the pass rusher.
They prioritized Dallas Clark, two receivers, meaning Reggie and Marv, Peyton, and then they franchised, they prioritized Saturday and then their two pass rushers.
Right.
Those were their key points.
And you know, every team's different. This team is not built the exact same way. That was a team that was a front-running team that in a positive sense.
But the negative to doing that was they had franchise guys, like six or seven guys, and then everybody else. By the end of that little run, everything else was minimum contract guys.
But you can still be competitive if you have a great quarterback.
That's
right? You could be a 10-game winner annually if you have a great quarterback. Jags have what we hope is a good quarterback. I hope he's a great quarterback, but he's had moments of greatness. He's had moments of mediocrity as well. He's not Peyton Manning in his prime or any other time, really, at this point in time. So can you pay Unique with all the other commitments you have, the minimal cap space you have available to you right now? Again, they could probably restructure Calais' deal, but you restructure that.
Pushing it out.
Right. You're going to take that cap hit somewhere along the line.
I'm going to say mortgage because that sounds like disaster, but you're pushing it out into the future.
You are slightly mortgaging it. Sometimes that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
But
you're pushing it out into the future to where you have to deal with it later.
All right, so Unique has to show up by when in order to
my understanding
hit free agency next year potentially.
In order to accrue a season, if you're under contract, and that's where it's different than Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell last year was not under contract.
Correct.
A player under contract must report 30 days before the season to accrue a season, meaning 30 days before the regular season. So I would interpret that to mean September 8th is the regular season opener this year, August 8th.
Right. And there would be no way – if that's the case, and I'm not questioning you, I'm just saying if that is the case, 30 days – then he'll be here 30 days because you're not going to risk.
That's
the worst thing would be to play for less than you think you're worth and not have it count as a year towards free agency.
Right.
So
correct. Any player under contract with a team that fails to report within 30 days prior to the first regular season game will not receive a season toward free agency.
Wow.
Now, that's my interpretation. I was looking at this over the weekend. I was confused last week as well, as you were during the break. Le'Veon Bell last year.
And others. That issue's come up, but it probably has been in relation to guys being franchised.
Back in the day, meaning like the 90s, I was stuck in.
What is the day?
There were cases where a player would hold out, and if he got in like six games in, I believe, then he would accrue a season. Everything that I was able to see over the weekend indicates this 30 days is the deadline. That's my interpretation.
All right, so what's the most likely scenario? To me, most likely scenario is, despite Unique's desires, unless he's willing to come down from what I think he wants, and I don't know. I'm not in Unique's camp. I'm not talking to his agent. But, again, I reference a conversation, Joel Corey, who I assume these agents talk to each other. He came on the Franchi Show, former agent. Now with CBS Sports.
He does a great job.
Right, and this is like maybe 6 weeks ago, something like that. and he was maybe even less, and he was saying, look, I know Unique's representatives, and I'm pretty confident he's not taking anything less than $20 million a year, okay? People know people. People talk. Yeah. Right. And so I'm going to, in my mind, that's the starting point for Unique Ngakoue, $20 million a year. And for the Jags, I don't think that is. So unless one of them is willing to bend, I think the great likelihood is then if that what you just presented is spot on, he shows up 30 days prior to the start of the season and begrudgingly, obviously he's going to give it his all when he's out there.
Right.
But
that seems, I would put that as the number one with number two and getting perhaps something done along the lines of when Telvin did, meaning a mid-season
like mid-season kind of deal as the second most likely scenario to you.
Yeah.
I could see that too because then the clock's ticking on the Jags too.
Right.
Right. Do you want to use the franchise tag? Because in reality, you'd like, A, not to have to use the franchise tag because no player – no matter how good a deal it may seem financially to you and I, no player, every player talks about, I want security. Well, the security is we're going to give you $20 million or 18 or 15 for 1 year, and it's guaranteed the moment you sign. If that's not security.
How much did Cousins make off the tag? Wasn't it like 50 or?
Off the tag. We got tagged twice.
Got tagged twice, and I think he got paid like upwards of 50.
A total.
If I'm recalling.
Right, between the two seasons.
Off of those two tags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, like Donovan Darius, I thought had the greatest deal ever. He got tagged 3 years in a row. He's one of like two players, I think, in league history to get it three times. That is your contract extension.
I think Cousins could afford a boat.
Right. Well, and plus he's got a fully guaranteed deal with the Vikings now. They're on the hook for $27 million, I think, for the next 2 years. So he's going to show up. He's going to play. And it's just a question of, you know, how important is it, you know, people talk about sending a message to the locker room. You know, look, they've sent – if you want to talk about sending a message, they've rewarded a lot of guys with contract extensions. No one's saying he's not deserving.
Right.
It's just
– finding the right
number. Right. Here's the situation they're in, and they don't have $50 million in cap space. I really do think if the cap space were there, this may be different, and they may even come up to his number if the cap space were there.
Yeah.
In that circumstance because – You got it. You know, you can spend it, that kind of thing.
You obviously
want to keep him.
Part of the lender thing back in the day, which in this scenario is 2 years ago, was sending a message that we're going to re-sign our guys. That was part of that. But they also had cap space to do it.
Right. All right. Let's go to the phones. For the first time in the month of June, I will talk to a caller on 1010XL. Let's welcome in Anthony over on Beaver Street. What's up, Anthony?
Yes, sir. How y'all doing, gentlemen?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you. I love, just to touch base on your Unique Ngakoue situation, I love Unique. He is awesome. You know, he brings some great production to the field. But am I wrong to maybe feel like if you're not disrupting the game, like maybe on an Aaron Donald type level, you're not worth that much money? Like maybe the franchise feels like that. Like, he brings them all kind of sacks, but he doesn't disturb the game. Like Aaron Donald do.
Well, I mean, like I think, you know, I'm not trying to play semantics with you, Anthony. Everyone says you're worth what you can get, right? So there's that. But I don't think anybody would put Frank Clark in the Aaron Donald category.
It's sort of what the market will bear.
Right. Frank Clark just got $20 million. I think he got traded, right? Was he he was franchised and then traded to Kansas City, who gave him a new deal worth over $20 million. Good pass rusher. Unique's been just as productive as him, with the one exception, I think, and this is more anecdotal than I don't have the raw data in front of me. Unique's not as impactful in the run game as he is, as is maybe a Frank Clark or DeMarcus Lawrence is in the run game. But DeMarcus Lawrence, I think he's even a cut above in terms of a pure pass rusher. So, but that's kind of the market now, Anthony. It's just, it's where the money is. And is he Aaron Donald? No. But, you know, guys get paid because they're the latest to come to free agency.
Right.
The Jags point, John, I think is, well, he hasn't come to free agency. He doesn't have that leverage.
He hasn't come to free agency, and he's not, you know, I think he's also not Von Miller.
Like, correct.
He's not that. When you're naming off guys who are your best one or two at the position? Who are defining the position right now? I think that'll be the difference in.
But is Frank Clark defining the position?
No, but I think from the Jaguars' perspective, I'm kind of on another topic. Why will Ramsey be different than Unique? Because I think you can put Ramsey in the category of a position defining player.
I could agree with that.
So I think that's where that'll be different. I don't necessarily.
He could be the guy, the archetype of of the current
and
corner.
I think Unique's really, 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 really good. I don't think he's that.
I have no idea. I'm just making up play numbers here. Let's say he wants $50 million guaranteed on a $100 million deal.
Sure. Because
the guaranteed money's really
that's what you're thinking.
Ultimately,
about.
What it's about. Because then you know the moment you sign, you're getting that money unless you, I don't know, decide to take a year off from football or something
like that.
Right?
Like
just
that.
The thought I'd throw
More
that
segues.
In there, free of charge. Maybe the Jags say, "Hey, look, we'll pay you right now, but we want to give you $35 million in guarantees." And again, I don't know what that figure is,
right.
You know. But that's kind of where they're at right now. Like, look, we'll pay you. We'll pay you much more than you've made for the first 4 years of your career. But you don't, let's be honest, you don't have the leverage on the team right now. If you've got to show up and play for $2 million potentially and knowing we could franchise tag you, and then it becomes different because if they do franchise tag him, you don't have to sign it.
Right.
And he could hold out.
That's where all the mess comes.
Right. But that's down the line. All right, we'll continue to talk about the Jags offseason. We'll switch it over a little bit to Telvin because he was in the news, got fined, announced on Instagram, had a reaction to that. And we'll react to that as well for not showing up for mandatory minicamp. Not that anybody expected him to be here, but nonetheless, he was not. Mike Dempsey, Johnny O here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, taking a look at this date in football history. He's back. He's on Twitter. He's got some scores to settle. He's a rental, James Simpson. What was he doing 25 years ago today in 1994? Apparently, he was in the back of the white Bronco, cruising around Los Angeles, California.
Didn't know anybody was behind him.
And oh my gosh! Do you realize? Hey, AC, have you looked in the rear view? Are you kidding me? What's going? Oh man, you're driving a little slow, buddy. Maybe they're just trying to tell you you need to pick up the pace out here. Okay, there's no slow lane that lets you go 25 miles an hour on the freeway. This gun I'm holding. Nothing to see here. Don't mind that. O.J. Simpson, the white Bronco chase. Now, Johnny, Emmanuel, sickeningly, was 7 at the time of the white Bronco chase. I say sickeningly because I'm jealous of his youth. Where were you 25 years ago
today?
I
was 28, and I was in a hotel. I want to say it was Crescent Beach. It was at a Florida booster, a University of Florida booster event. Steve Spurrier was there, and a lot of his people he had played with in college were there. And I was doing a story for the Times Union, big three-part series on Spurrier. This was in Spurrier's heyday at Florida, so that's where I was.
I was in a bar in DeLand, Florida, with Rich Bouchard, Steve Fry, and maybe Tim – Tim Gill might have been the fourth one there. Not sure who the fourth member of our traveling party was that day. It was NBA Finals, Knicks Rockets. I want to say game
six,
five.
Right?
I want to say game five.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think it was the last game the Knicks won in the series, and the Rockets won 6 and 7, if memory serves, which it doesn't always serve. And as memory serves me, when it first came on, they threw the little corner, because they were so technologically advanced, they threw the little corner shot up there, like the picture-in-picture of the white Bronco.
Pip.
The pip. And that was OJ in the pip.
Right.
That's fine. I can see John Starks bricking another three. It's fine. I got most of the screen. Then it flipped, and the game was in the corner.
Nah.
And then I may be wrong about this, but this is how my bitter Knicks memory has preserved this. Then they took it off completely, and all they were doing was talking about the damn white Bronco. What happened to the game? It's the NBA Finals. We don't make it all the time. We're not the Bulls here.
And Jordan wasn't playing.
He wasn't playing. Well, Jordan was playing. Are you kidding me? It would have been a little crawl on the bottom of the screen.
Right.
By the way, O.J. Simpson, apparently.
Simpson also in car.
Low-speed chase, right? A.C. Cowlings is out being chased down. Famous birthdays for the state include Dermonte Dawson, the longtime Pittsburgh Steeler offensive lineman, is 54 years old today, a 7-time Pro Bowler and a 6-time first-team All-Pro, and that is what we're throwing your way on this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
All right, zero chance I do this as well as Tony Smith does, but I'll throw him your way anyway. Ben Roethlisberger declares that he is ready for normalcy after some crazy few years up in Pittsburgh. Can he just let it go, right? I mean, just let it go. What are you gaining, right? I get it. You blame Antonio Brown for the dysfunction. He blames you. Does it really matter at this point in time? But, boy, does he really want you to get the picture that now that Antonio's gone, everything's normal. Everything's nice and peaceful and quiet around here. I'm just normal Ben Roethlisberger. Bruce Arians talking about the Tampa Bay running back situation, new head coach of the Bucs. This offseason said, no, we don't have a Todd Gurley. No, we don't have a David Johnson, who he coached in Arizona. No, we don't need one of those anyway. Not a big believer in paying the running back position. Hey, Leonard Fournette, be glad you don't play for Tampa. But not a believer in overpaying the running back position. So we'll see if Ronald Jones can improve. He can't help but improve on that rookie season.
I wasted a fantasy pick on Ronald Jones.
Pick you spent on Ronald Jones was a wasted pick last
I thought he
year.
Was going to be so good, man.
Final round of the draft was a wasted pick. I took my shots. I love rookie running backs, man. But he is – now he's become a sleeper, E, because you can get him in the double-digit rounds now. And, you know, I don't know. Peyton Barber, does he get you all that excited? Not that much. Lamar Jackson admits that there were times last year in Baltimore when he wasn't in command of the total offense. I think that's pretty obvious. They threw him in there and said, run for your life. And, right. You know, so let's make it work for half a season. And they did, and they made the playoffs. They turned their season around. But word out of Baltimore, as it always is, John, at this time of the year, very impressed with
looks
how
good.
The
ball's
coming out of his hands. Yes.
Looks confident?
He's walking with an air of confidence.
He's throwing a bunch of receivers who are good
in Baltimore. Yes. Yeah, right. And he's going to surprise you with how well he throws the ball. Did we have many of those off seasons with Blake here in Jacksonville where you remembered? I mean, he had the season or two. You know, he had
there
moments.
There were a couple where he looks a lot better than he did last year. I mean, that's
I'll never forget a compatriot of ours who shall remain nameless to spare him the embarrassment, who every time Blaine Gabbert would complete like two passes in a row. I think he's getting it, man. I think it's different. I think he's turning the corner right now, and he went down on that shit.
He would usually look good in practice.
Oh, not only in practice, but in the game, because
right.
Guy's got a cannon. I mean, if you just wanted to, it's like Bill Parcells said about Testaverde when he was 40, 41 right. with the Cowboys. If all you watched was like a 7-on-7, right, you'd think he's the best quarterback in the National Football League. Guy never missed a pass, and he also knew he wasn't going to get hit.
Right.
You know, and
looks great standing up tall.
Oh, still got an arm, can still make all the throws, just can't make them when there's a swirl of ill-intended pass rushers coming at him, much like Blaine always had that issue as well. So there you have it. That's what's going on with your Roland Reich roll around the National Football League, and it will be between now and July 25th, you know. Probably not a whole lot. You know, hey, how the boys doing in Tahoe as they play in their latest celebrity golf outing?
The 22nd roll around the National Football League.
Something like that, right. And once again,
and that's
nothing
good.
Happening in the National Football League. As far as the Jags go, you'd love to hear the team worked out a contract extension with Yannick Ngakoue.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, you don't want to hear much, right? I mean,
That's the only thing right now. You hope that doesn't become a thing where we're talking about it in July 25th. I'm sure it will. And you absolutely hope you're not getting a press release saying we are aware of a situation.
Right. We're aware. Right. We'll reserve comment until further facts. But
you don't want anything to be aware of.
nothing good that you can be aware of right now. They actually, you know, the Jags, this is the time when we really should highlight. We talk about what's on the field all the time. You know, they're always doing things in the community constantly. And who knows? I say this every year. Maybe we'll focus on that a little bit more this offseason. Chances are we won't, because we talk about football.
We got Jan and Jalen to talk
about. We got Jan and Jalen and Telvin now as well. Under the terms of the collective bargaining agreement, if you don't show up for a mandatory anything, you can be fined by the team.
Y'all better wake the f*** up.
Yeah, well, and upon rising, the Jaguars looked at terms of the CBA and said, we can get $88,000 credited to us out of this. And So they took that step, sent Telvin a letter. Telvin took to social media to express his thoughts on that. So we'll discuss that going forward here in a moment as well. Got a couple of questions out there on Twitter, at MD_1010XL. One's a poll, so very easy. One click gives your opinion on, compared to the beginning of the offseason and how you feel now that with free agency, the draft, all that's come and gone, the situations with Telvin Unique, the contract wishes of various players, how does that factor in for you, and where's your optimism level? Are you more optimistic, less optimistic, or the same? And we'll weigh in on that question as well, presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. And also, separate, just what is the big thing that is your biggest concern right now? Is it an on-the-field thing? Is it Nick Foles? Are there enough offensive playmakers around him? Is Fournette going to give us a season that's indicative of the fourth overall pick? Is it contract situations? Is it Telvin Smith's absence? What is the thing that's weighing most heavily on you from a Jags perspective that's going to impact the one-loss record the most in 2019? You can share your thoughts with us on that as well as we continue along. Mike Dempsey, Johnny O from Jaguars.com, and ET here with you. Fat Tony will be hosting the Frangie Show all week long, so definitely stick around for that later on this afternoon. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I love Yannick. He is awesome. He brings great production to the field. But am I wrong to maybe feel like if you're not disrupting the game, like maybe on an Aaron Donald type level, you're not worth that much money?
Well, no. Worth is a funny thing, isn't it? Right? Should any defensive player be paid more than Aaron Donald? Probably not this year. Because right now he's pretty much the most game-wrecking guy on that side of the football. But
the cap goes up.
Cap goes up. It's the next one to the to the queue. You know, if that were the standard, then Tom Brady would have been murdered by now, right? For taking below market contracts because his wife makes hundreds of millions of dollars as a model.
And if that was a standard, and again, this time of year, you get questions like this in the ozone. If that was a standard, nobody would ever make more than Aaron Rodgers. I mean, but.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Brady's always taken less than $20 million or whatever when other guys are going through the roof, and not everyone has his situation.
Right.
You know?
But players want guaranteed money over an extended period of time, so they're not going to go back and.
That's right.
You're not going to renegotiate every 2 years to make sure everybody's in line.
Right. Everyone's happy when they sign it, and then they're not happy for the most part.
The mojo factor.
Mojo. They paid you before you had ever been the starter on the team.
Right.
And they took a chance on you, and you were very happy to get that money.
Right.
And you, wait a minute. No, this is not up to the top of the market. Well, you know, can't have everything, John.
Right. The players don't want to go year to year, so that's what it begets.
Here is a meaty one on the text line, which is built by Lifetime Enclosures. I'm liking the way that John DeFilippo has been vocal in videos I've seen and in media interviews. I think he and Foles will be a huge upgrade for the Jags O this season. In the Eagles games I've rewatched on NFL Network when Foles was quarterback, the O-line gave him plenty of time, and they displayed very good hands with the exception of Alshon with the big drop in the playoff game. So everyone knows how much is riding on the O-line playing well. I like our nucleus of young wide receivers and a young tight end. Going to be exciting to see training camp in the preseason. It's early so far. Fournette looks good on the field. And with not saying doing any immature stuff, I want to see how well Armstead fills that backup spot. If Boye can have a better year and Jack can stay healthy, we should have a top eight defense at least. Can't wait to see Unique pay him now. Allen and Campbell out there getting after it. Side note, I wonder if Telvin's reached out to Paz or vice versa. They seem tight. Paz is like a big brother, right? Anyway, hope you get right, Telvin. A lot of topics touched on there.
That pretty much covers the topic.
That's the off season. That's Jags off season. I'm just going to copy and paste.
Yes.
Yes, right? They do need to protect Foles, no question about it.
I think that's really the key. I mean, out of all that, the offensive line playing the way that you think it can or that it should on paper is really beyond anything else. It's not a very sexy thing to talk about in the offseason because it's hard to see it in OTAs. But this offensive line, Juwan Taylor, the interior, Linder, Norwell.
Linder, Norwell need to play like Pro Bowlers, quite honestly.
Yeah. And Cam needs to play like a second-round pick who is ascending, and so does Juwan Taylor. High second-round picks, basically bottom of the first.
But high second-round pick coming off, in the case of Cam, season-ending injury. Right. I want those two guys who are getting paid like it to play like it, mm-hmm. right? Norwell and Linder, right? Be healthy and play like dominant forces, because that's what you're getting paid to do.
Sure.
And I would like to hope that one other guy maybe doesn't approach quite that level, but is a guy you'd say, wow, that guy could start for almost any team out there, right? And that the other guys are just not liabilities. You're not going to have very often a case like Dallas had a few years ago where seemingly they had a Pro Bowler at every spot. You know, and they had, in reality, they had three and very good players and even depth behind that.
Right. Most teams don't have five really, really good
ones. No. So if you've got two really good ones, another one who's, man, that guy's, you know, could play for a lot of squads, and then you got two guys who are not a revolving door.
Right.
You don't have to be
great. They're supposed to have more. I mean, again, even with an ACL, Cam's not supposed to be a revolving door, and neither is John.
No, I'm not. No, they're not.
So those guys are supposed to be pretty good players.
But Cam's got to show up and show that, right? He's based on where he's drafted, you're expecting a lot out of him. But, you know, again, I'm relying on the eyes of Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli.
He has struggled.
Right. He struggled in the offseason last year prior to the injury compared to the way he played his rookie year. Didn't seem on the verge of taking the big step forward.
Best way to describe Cam, he was good as a rookie, but needed to get. He was good for a rookie, but needed to continue to get better off of that. Didn't look early on like he was. For him to be a good pick, he has to fulfill the potential that he showed as a rookie, not play like he did as a rookie.
Right, and I don't know how much we can expect that this year.
True,
you know, because again, ACLs, they're different. I get it. He's not a slot receiver, needs to make all these exotic cuts and run routes and everything, but you still need to anchor with that outs. Which knee was it for him?
I want to say it was whatever his outside knee was.
That's what I thought too, but then I started to say that and I doubted myself.
Yeah, I'm saying it because that's what I thought, but I'm not saying it. If somebody tells me I'm wrong, I won't be shocked.
Regardless, you can't play the position one-legged, right? Whether it's your inside or outside leg, you're going to need them both in the NFL to get by. So, look, if the offensive line is – if it plays to its potential, and maybe a lot of teams could say this about a lot of positions, but I think if it plays to its potential, it could be one of the better offensive
lines. It's
supposed
to be really good. Lines. You've invested a lot in it.
Top third offensive line in the league.
Right.
You know, and that may be – you know, like you said, you invested a lot. Norwell's proven he was an all-pro. Linder, they feel, is as good as just about any center in the league when he's
healthy.
You
have two really highly paid guys, and you have two other guys who were drafted just outside the first round.
Right.
And you have a third-round pick.
Who many thought were going to go in the first round.
And your other guy is a fifth-year veteran who's a third-round pick. A third-round pick in
That's not chop liver.
At guard is very common.
Absolutely.
That's supposed to be a good unit this year.
Fifth-round pick at linebacker doesn't always turn out to be as productive as Telvin Smith did, as he was the leading tackler in the National Football League over the last 5 years.
You are on your transition game.
My transition game's strong so far this morning, I feel. Which brings us to Telvin on his Instagram post, posting the letter he got from the Jacksonville Jaguars informing him of the fact that we're aware you missed a mandatory minicamp, emphasis on mandatory, and here is the fine schedule that is laid out, and we can fine you a total, I believe, of $88,650 for the missed minicamp. Oh, you know that specific number, but you don't know if it's the left or right leg for Cam. You're unbelievable.
I just saw this morning.
I know, I'm just kidding. So Telvin posts that, adds his commentary at the bottom. Oh, y'all thought it was a game. You say you want to sit and get your life right. They say, nah, blank you, pay me. And then he adds, with the raised fist, it's still love. Right? No matter, it's like MJD used to say this all the time. You can say anything to anybody as long as you say, no disrespect.
No disrespect.
Before you said it. No disrespect, but
I'm just saying.
You are a disgusting human being. No disrespect.
Right.
Right? say whatever. Doesn't matter.
Or all due respect works for
right. With all due respect, which is minimal at best. Right? The amount of respect due you is not much. It's still love.
Well, it's love. Yeah, you can get your life right, but there's also a contract.
Bro, I'm not even batting an eye that they find him for missing mandatory minicamp.
I'll admit, I think from what Tobin said his Instagram that this came in an email. I get when you open the email, that can be it's probably a little bit of a sticker shock. You know, you're opening an email. Hey, how you doing? No, it's hey, you owe us $88,000. But it's what they have to do. My impression is, if it all works out and at some point in the future it is all love, this kind of fine can be rescinded. Or
define all love. Telvin's back playing.
Right. But if not, you know, there's going to be a cost.
Does he think he's going to get his salary this year because it's all love?
I can't speak to that.
I'm wondering, right. Obviously, you don't know the answer to that. None of us know. I can't believe he would imagine he's going to get paid this year.
It's really not all love. It's kind of all business.
It's most business, right? A little bit of love. A little smidge of love in there. A little love.
Again, I'm not – when we talk like this, I don't know what Telvin's going through. So I'm not –
I don't either.
I'm not trying to wash over that, whatever. But
we're just talking about the business aspect of this
But
now.
In the business aspect, there are certain things the Jaguars have to do to keep their options open for what they will be doing in the future because you've got to do something with this roster position at some point.
Correct. Right. I mean, at some point – if he doesn't show up at the beginning of the year, I believe, you know, when you said the 30-day thing, I think is the 5-day letter still a thing? Remember the 5-day letter was when you failed a report, the team would send you a letter and
I
said
so.
You have 5 days to respond or show up, and if you don't in that 5-day period, then you go on an exempt list and you're not eligible to play that year.
It's the do not report list.
Yes.
I did not report list. This situation, my understanding of it is, because there's not really a precedent for this, they're still trying to figure out exactly how to handle it. So, how it'll be handled? Because this is not a holdout. Like I'm trying to get
right, and it's not I'm retired.
Right. So,
and a guy changes his mind. This is I'm just not playing
options,
this year.
But it's still a case of as it goes forward, having to figure out how you're going to handle it.
When he says, "Oh, y'all thought it was a game," I assume. This is him reacting to people saying, you know, thought you loved the game. I don't know. I'm assuming. I'm assuming, you know, because we don't know. And that's fine. I mean, I don't want to rehash Telvin Smith every day, but this is a new development that just happened to come up.
It's difficult interpreting Telvin's posts.
You think Jan got this email?
I would be shocked if he didn't.
Right? Because it preserves your right to do it.
Right.
And like you said, so often, I don't know if most is accurate, but it seems like it, you hear stories about so-and-so fined for a holdout, they agree to a new contract, and they forgive the fines. That's part of the...
Right, you agree to waive the fine. Right.
Right, so, that goes away, and everyone's happy now.
Yeah, I don't know why that wouldn't have been in the inbox.
I don't know.
And why would you fine Telvin and not Jan?
Well, because... Telvin, maybe you feel like Telvin pulled the rug out from under you. Like Jan, you're like, all right, I get it. He's communicated with us from the very beginning. We know the situation. We know, you know, we both sides want to work something out. We'll see how it plays out. Telvin's like, no, I'm not going to play. I'm going to announce it on social media, and I'm not going to, for at least the longest time, apparently, communicate in any way with any member of management on this football team.
Yeah, I would expect Jan got fined, but I don't know.
Yeah, look, they're a professional organization. I'm thinking in Mike Dempsey's head, I'm like OJ, I got scores to settle, okay? So come follow me on Twitter. By the way, are you following OJ? Anybody here following OJ on Twitter?
No, not yet. But
not yet?
I mean, it's a thing.
it's a thing. Right, it is a thing. You're right, E. It is a thing. I clicked on his account because he welcomed himself to Twitter over the weekend. And just to see how many followers he had, and I gotta look at it right now. But it was how many do you think, Johnny?
3 million.
No, it was only 335,000. I think, which is still an incredible amount in like a 1 or 2 day period that he was able to pick up. All right, O.J. Simpson, here we go. Going to Twitter, horrible man, more than overwhelmingly likely a murderer, wants you to follow him on Twitter. Man, why can't I just find his Twitter account? Why doesn't a Twitter search just take me right to his account? I don't know.
I want it now.
I want it right now. Do you have it up there? Here it is. The O.J. Simpson. I'm sure the Bills love the fact that he threw his uniform number in there, right? Here it is. No, that can't be.
Yeah, it's at the O.J. Simpson 32.
Is it the underscore O.J. Simpson 32?
But this one isn't verified.
Yeah, I don't think that's the same one.
Okay.
I think somebody made a fake one because this one has 32,000 followers.
Yeah.
Either way, O.J. announced he has has people to get even with, scores to settle. I forget the exact vernacular that he used.
I didn't realize that.
That's said you're going to be hearing it. If you don't hear it, see it here, then I didn't say it because there are a lot of fake O.J. accounts out there. I've got a lot of scores to settle or something to that effect.
I think I'm going to start it. I think I'm going to restart my Twitter account basically with that message.
Yes.
I've got scores to settle.
Just to have that be your bio on Twitter. I've got scores to settle. Read below. See below. And also, you see Cosby yesterday.
That's fantastic.
Do you see Cosby's official Bill Cosby Twitter account, which has been dormant for a while, came out and said something to the effect of "Happy Father's Day from America's Dad. Let's all remember, how to, be good people and parents and all this." That's like,
hey, he's trying to rebuild the brand.
Wow. He's like, hey,
found it, Mike.
If a rental James is on Twitter, you better be sure America's Dad's gonna pop back up.
What you got
for me, E?
The real OJ32.
The real OJ32. All right. And how many followers does the real OJ32 have right now?
642,000.
600. So it almost doubled since I looked over the weekend. Wow. Pro Football Talk said, I follow them for a day because of the train wreck factor. I can't continue. Look, if you want, I'm not saying I'll never look at an OJ tweet because there is a train wreck factor, and it's sometimes you're just like, I can't believe that this is being said, but I don't need it in my feed. And right. If I need to know what the juice has to say, that murdering scumbag, I can go punch in the real OJ 32. And, of course, right at the top, John, the nice profile picture.
He's actually got the Bills.
Oh. How long until the Bills sue him to take that down? I don't know if they can.
Yeah, I'm not sure they can.
Right? I mean, that's really him.
It's a photo. Yeah.
It's got kind of the logo on the side of the helmet, half a horse's. It's got the horse's backside is what it's got,
but
John.
It is, yeah.
That's clever.
It's a good photo.
That's meta.
The fact that he's in it.
Right. Other than that, I think maybe that's for people who would have forgotten that's why he has 32 in the Twitter handle, that he had to put that photo in there. Not sure. So there you go. I guarantee you.
Settle.
All right. Chances that Tyler Devitt is not following OJ on Twitter right now. I put that at zero. 100% zero. You see the time he met OJ in Vegas?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, he
was
so proud. He had like a – did he have a video or just a photo? I think it was just a selfie he took with him.
Yeah, I think it was a picture.
Oh, man.
Tyler might have been the one setting up the account.
Charles Manson, unavailable. All right. We will come back. We'll take a look at your responses today to the questions of the day that we put out there presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. We'll weigh in with our thoughts on those as well. Mike Dempsey, John O. from John O. Who calls him that? I just did. And Emmanuel Thalerand. It is Jaguars Today, and we're right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, ET here with you, coming down the home stretch. Jaguars Today. Man, I like the schedule. First show of June. What's today? June 17th? Seems reasonable, right?
Yeah,
work 2 hours a day for the next 4 days and have a break. Have the weekend.
Good work if you can get it.
It is good work if you can get it. Now, happy to be back from vacation. Nah, that's a lie. Never happy to be back from vacation. Let's be honest, right?
No.
People are like, hey, are you glad your vacation's over? You glad to be back to work? No. Well, look, as far as jobs go, I'm glad to come back to this one.
Sure.
As opposed to many other jobs I could have, or I don't know what range I'm capable of doing, but
this is pretty much it.
I would rather be independently wealthy, hit the lotto, and not work. So I'm just telling you, But in terms of a job to come back to, love the fact that this is mine. So thank you for having me back. Let's go to Gary in Mandarin, find out what's on his mind, and we'll get to these questions of the day that we threw out there and see what kind of reaction we got. Gary, you're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, buddy.
Good morning, guys. I'm glad you had a good trip there, Mike.
Thank you, Gary.
Hey, the Ndakwe situation, the Jags struggle with pass rush to begin with, and those that are complaining about, you know, $20 million a year, that's the going rate. Bottom line, like you say, Mike, that's what an elite player at that position gets. There's four positions, quarterback, pass rusher, left tackle, and corner. And it doesn't matter how good Jalen or the rest is, an NFL quarterback, if they have time to throw back there, they're going to complete passes. It doesn't matter how good the secondary is. If you don't have a consistent pass rush, if they don't make Ndakwe happy, who are they going to rely on? Josh Allen, who was a great college player, but he's unproven in the NFL. I mean, it is what it is, whether you like it or not. There's always ways to find a way to pay a guy. You can restructure different contracts and all. The bottom line is, you know, whether they like it or not, that's the going rate for that position right now.
All right, Gary, appreciate it. It's going rate if you have the leverage. If you're in position, like all those guys were free agents or under the franchise tag, the guys that we're talking about, DeMarcus Lawrence, Frank Clark, getting the top of the market deals now. Unique's not in that position. A lot of things in there. A, what would they do without Unique Ngakoue, John? They'd start Josh Allen and be better off at defensive end than most teams in the league. Imagine if you had Calais Campbell, Unique Ngakoue, I don't even want to say it out loud. Let's say he didn't play for whatever reason. He was hurt, okay?
I say he just didn't exist.
Just didn't exist. Poof, he's gone. Or he retired. Whatever. He's just gone. To have Calais Campbell and the guy was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year with 17 sacks last year. You'd be ahead of most teams in that category. Most teams do not have a potential third pass rusher like Josh Allen. Most teams, if they drafted a guy like that, he would automatically be thought to be probably their best pass rusher. You had a situation where Bradley Chubb joined Von Miller, but who's the third guy, right? There not many teams have that potential depth. Now, does that mean you want to play without Jan? Of course not. But right. they're better suited to handle it. And again, we don't think Jan's not playing this year.
No.
You and I don't anyway.
But that's the leverage. That's the leverage.
Right. That's the thing. You know, if he were a free agent and they were facing either using the franchise tag or signing him to a long-term deal, I think you'd be in a different situation right now. So we'll see how it plays out, Gary. Look, I want Unique Ngakoue to stay here for his entire career because what has he been but productive, hardworking, good citizen, everything you want. I mean, so make it work. Let's hope.
The pass rush and the DBs, wouldn't you say they work together?
Yes.
Because that's a point that Gary made. I don't agree
with. And he even said, it's funny because he said the pass rush wasn't great last year. Well, Jan was part of that. Now you want to pay $20 million a year. What's going to help the pass rush, in my opinion, is a better offense that has some leads so teams need to pass, right? They can't just say, hey, we're just trying to run clock here and run the football in the second half of game. So create situations with your offense in which teams have to play some catch-up in the second half.
It was the major difference last year.
Huge difference,
major
right?
Difference.
And the difference from the prior year, and they were very successful. I'll just read through some of these. I asked, what's your biggest concern as things stand now after an entire offseason anticipating training camp? Meta World Crazy said, biggest concern that the Jags are going to suck again. So he's going right low rung right there. Samuel said, my biggest concern is running back depth. I hope Leonard gets his head on straight for the season. Aaron said the wide receivers being able to keep a hold of the football. Kristaps said safety. Nobody is safety. Jared Wilson not sold on him, basically, is the bottom line on that.
That's fair.
Right. You have no reason to know what he's going to do, but again, it's kind of like we're talking about the offensive line. You're going to have five Pro Bowlers. You can't have a Pro Bowler at every position. Couldn't afford him. You know, Jared Wilson is your opportunity. Let's see. Ocho Fisho says, my biggest concern, they drag their feet in paying Jan, and he no-shows till week four of the preseason, and players start openly grousing about how they wasted no time paying Bortles when they didn't need to. I do think that dynamic could present itself, right? That this guy, five, got paid. No matter how different the circumstances may or may not have been, I don't think the players are going to say, bottom line, he got his money. And he was nowhere near as good as our man Jan is. Another one, Jan, let's get this man paid. Reggie said, my biggest concern is the team's maturity level. Waylon, salary cap issues ahead. Samuel, contract negotiations, salary cap. Brian, I don't know if Foles is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but he seems to be a significant upgrade with his defense and that upgrade. Why wouldn't we be more optimistic? That goes to the poll. I would agree with that. I am more optimistic.
Mm-hmm, I am too.
Even though you anticipated they'd make a move at quarterback, until it's done, you don't know who it's going to be. I think for 2019, Foles was the best addition they could make at that position to make a positive impact on the field. I don't think Dwayne Haskins will be better this year, potentially. Like, right. To me, given a choice for the long term, I rather would have had Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. That's me. Maybe I'll prove to be wrong on that. Keeping Nick Foles upright is Johnny's concern. Quarterback, yeah. quarterback for Chad. Terrence says, no Yon deal, meaning no 91 at camp or possibly leading into the season. Again, if the 30-day rule is correct, then very little chance you would think that he's going to risk not accruing a season. In other words, not having this year count to advancing the clock towards free agency.
And there's sometimes a little concern with the holdout of injury. I think Yon will show up fine.
I do as well. I do as well.
That doesn't concern me.
Yeah. Big Will, 904. My concern is someone will get in trouble and get arrested. Sometimes young men with money get themselves in trouble. I'm hoping that isn't the case. We shall see. Every team's fear right now, other than some freak injury occurring while you're training. That's a huge fear. Cam Robinson's knee, says Marcus. Let's see. Linebackers and safety. Front office just feels like they're going to end up losing young stars at the rate they're going. As you said, somebody tweeted in, or I guess it was an Ozone thing, mm-hmm. right? They said, clearly this shows that Jags had no plan to retain their young stars.
Yeah, they haven't left yet.
They're not gone, right? I mean, their plan may include exactly what they're doing right now, applying a little of their own weapons. It's a negotiation,
right?
Hey, look, you give in on day one, it's not much of a negotiation. You know what? We're willing to pay you. That $20 million seems kind of high considering you're under contract for only two this year. You know, how would you feel about 16 or whatever?
Let's guarantee this. Let's figure this out. Right.
Yeah, right. So, you know, either way, whether they retain them or not, they had a plan to retain these guys.
Right.
It may not work out. Things don't always go as you plan them.
Right.
But I don't doubt that they have a plan in place. Will that plan prove to be the right one and an effective one? Time will tell. Speaking of right and effective, here we go. It's XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings come with a heaping side of peace of mind, not to mention the free chips and salsa, delivery, and setup. Visit moescateringfl.com.
All right, Hacker Nation, fresh off his first Father's Day that he's aware of, that applied to him, Hack. That's always been the joke. You have any kids? None that I'm aware of. How was it?
It was
kind of a big deal?
Yeah, it was very different from what I was used to, no question. Apparently, the young man learned how to shop on Amazon because he got me some Father's Day gifts yesterday. That was exciting. So, it was very cool. We went over to my stepdad's house and with my mom there and had a nice family day, and it was a very, very good time.
All right. I took my kid to the movies. We could have skipped Dark Phoenix, but we're completists. We got to see every Marvel movie in the theater, but whatever.
Is Dark Phoenix Spider-Man?
Dark Phoenix is the X-Men.
Okay.
No, Spider-Man is Spider-Man Far From Home, which comes out, July 10th, something like that. Far From Out. That's correct. Exactly. We got weeks and weeks to go. Hacker, what are you guys going to be talking about today?
Obviously, you know, recapping the U.S. Open, Gary Woodland, that was outstanding, watching him and Brooks Koepka battle down the stretch. We're going to talk a lot about that. Also, hard to believe, 25 years since the White Bronco chase with O.J. Simpson, June 17th, 1994. Saw the juice made it to Twitter. Over the weekend.
Got scores to settle, Hack.
Yeah, got scores to settle. So we'll talk a lot about that. But again, 25 years ago today. And I think that's one of those moments in sports. And that was even obviously bigger than sports. But that's one of those moments where you tend to remember exactly what you were doing.
Look, bro, everyone growing up, I heard, everyone's never going to forget where they were when Kennedy got shot, right? And I didn't have that experience. The Reagan thing wasn't the same because he didn't die. And other than 9/11, I don't know if there's another, maybe the Challenger disaster, because I was in high school and in Florida, pretty close to Cape Canaveral. Other than those, I don't know if there's another more memorable, widespread, like the birth of your child, that kind of thing for you personally, but, you know, like an event in society that happened that we'll remember more.
I remember that 30 anyway. For 30. Not only did you have the white Bronco, it was Arnold Palmer's final U.S. Open. And he said goodbye to the U.S. Open on that day. You obviously had the Knicks and the Rockets
NBA matters,
Finals. Heck. It was a big day, but hey, everybody remembers.
Love you. Love you. Hope you're doing well in heaven, but you've had plenty of shine. The Knicks never get any, and they took it away from us, Hack.
Yeah.
Have a good show.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, there he goes. Ryan the Hacker Green is out the door. Here's your poll results at the moment. Still, we'll leave it out there for the rest of the day. John, we asked, now that all the heavy lifting is done until training camp, how do you feel about the Jaguars' 2019 chances compared to how you felt at the beginning of the offseason? 49% said the same. Okay, which is that's a weird answer to me. Like, I would think you'd feel better or worse, but
yeah, I think if you saw the offense during OTAs, and again, I'll couch that by saying I get that it's OTAs. I'm the first one,
right? And most people didn't see it,
right? But I feel more confident that he's going to be more accurate, and that the offense is going to be at minimum marginally better.
Yeah, I would say 37% said more optimistic, 14% said less. I'm imagining that's heavily weighted to the fact that Telvin won't be here for the season, it appears, by all accounts, and that Unique's contract situation is what it is right now. That's my guess. But
if the quarterback's better, I think it outweighs the other two.
I do as well. By what degree in the win column, to be determined. But I'm with you. I'd be more optimistic simply because they have a professional spiral thrower
at the
ready for this team. All right, John, thank you for helping me ease back. Into the seat.
I'm here for you.
It's good. It's good that you are. All right, Johnny O, check him out at Jaguars.com on Twitter at his name, John Osier. For E.T., appreciate you. I am E to the T on Twitter. I am Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on, hosting the Frangie Show all week long, so he gets another week off from me, unlike you poor saps out there. I'll be back tomorrow from 10 to noon doing Jaguars Today right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go to the...